Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with Kia. Peace of mind comes as standard with a Kia 7-year warranty.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
I'm Joe at RTE.ie. Deirdre, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe. How are you?
Good. Your situation, please.
I'm ringing about yesterday we were talking about adults with intellectual disability, and there was a lady on, and she was...
Deirdre, before we go any further, I need to clean up that line insofar as we can. Come back to you in a sec, promise. Kay Maguire. Kay, good afternoon.
Hiya, Joe. Nice to talk to you.
Okay, you're unhappy with what?
I'm unhappy with the future of social distancing, Joe. That's my problem.
Okay.
Because I live on my own. I am a widow, and I'm in my mid-70s.
Right.
Fit and well now.
Yeah.
But I feel I need some kind of contact with my physical contact with my children, my grandchildren, and my beloved son, Cormac, who also needs contact with me, physical contact with me. And I'm just wondering, what is the future for me and for people like me? Is there any break in this social distancing at
What are you hearing, Kay? Let's approach
well,
that
I'm just
way.
Hearing that it's going to be with us for the foreseeable future. That's all I hear anywhere. And I feel that if this goes on for the foreseeable future, I won't be. I don't think I'll be around because I need physical contact. I really, really do. And even the latest thing, we are able to go out walking with a no-touch basis. I think that is condescending. I really do, because people like me and our vintage are scrupulous about physical distancing, and we keep it very, very much away from everybody. So I just feel that we need some guidance as to what will happen for us in the future.
Now, what if you said you heard a couple of things this week that is the word demoralised you?
Yeah, it is demoralising and depressing, Joe, really and truly. You know, I'm willing to stay the course now until the August and the five, you know, those five sections and
yeah, the roadmap,
that's okay.
Yeah.
We've stayed for 10 weeks now, I think, and that's fine. But after that, something has to be done for families, and especially people who have people with an intellectual disability in their family and who doesn't live with them, because I have one of those. And he is a man, is 49.
Okay.
And he lives in a semi-independent apartment. His name is Cormac in Walkinstown Road. It's run by St. Michael's House.
Right.
Very independent man. Worked all his life in the Leisure Plex in Stillorgan
for
20 years in the mornings. Cleaned the pool tables and did all that. Travelled by bus, Lewis, the whole lot. And came home to me every second weekend. Went out for a pint. Did all his own finances, everything like that. And then the COVID struck and the Leisureplex closed and St. Michael's House closed off the apartment, as they were perfectly right, because of safety for them.
Yeah.
But
I know you referred in one of the in your earlier part of your contact with us. The Deputy Chief Medical Officer, Dr. Rona Glynn, said that Ireland will be living with coronavirus for the foreseeable future.
The future, yeah.
And that shocked you, did it?
It shocked me. You know, it shocked me, Joe, because I felt that we had no light at the end of the tunnel. That's what I'm saying.
You say, I'm not going to live on for the next few years. The last period of my life like this, if this is going on for years, I'm going to go out and hug everyone who let
me. Exactly. Until for anyone that will hug me, and that mightn't be many people now, but for anyone that will hug me. And I've just seen that situation where people have these outfits where they can put their hands out and hug people into plastic. And that's for me. That's definitely for me.
Yeah.
You know, because we need physical contact.
And I think it was the Secretary General of the Department of Health, Mr. President, said... These were all the speeches they were given to the Dáil Committee. They were released before.
Yes, exactly.
Presumably they had to say something to them. But he said it could be with us for years.
For years. That's what he said. It could be with us for years. And people like us, Joe, in this latter part of our lives, it's very depressing. It really is.
You're not in the latter part of your life.
I am now, Joe. I'll tell you.
Okay. Stay with us. This is Kay Maguire. Deirdre, good afternoon.
Hello, Joe. How are you?
Good. What's your situation, Deirdre?
Well, my situation...
situation is I have a son, he's in his 30s, he has an intellectual disability, and he lives with us. Now, we had for years and years tried to get services for him, and we had built up, and we had a nice little, he had 3 days service. He had a new initiative by the HSE, a lady who was teaching him life skills.
Great.
He had a voluntary work, and he had a small job, which he did for 8 hours a week.
Okay.
All of that is gone. Now, he is with us in lockdown, and it is very, very difficult. He is frightened because of the virus. He's a naturally outgoing person, but he's stuck at home, and it's proving very, very difficult for both him and us.
Yeah.
So, and we are just afraid that the stuff that we have built up, what is our new normal going to be, Joe? Is his, this lady who has taken back to, into the services to look after people in the community setting, is she going to come back? Our respite that we used to have, is that going to come back? But like, it's very, very frightening for us to think we're both pensioners. And I don't think that when things are going to come back, I think we'll be bottom of the pile. And we'll end up, you know, when you're living with somebody who has an intellectual disability, all you know is anxiety. But you are never allowed to express your feelings because they can't take it.
I understand,
have the last 9 weeks trying to cry. I can't cry, Joe, because if I cry, it upsets him.
Yeah.
I can't get cross with him because he doesn't understand. If he comes to a crescendo and has a meltdown, he'll go away and he starts texting me, I'm sorry, ma'am. And I can feel my stomach rising. I get a pain in my chest. I'm thinking, if I kill them now, it'll be all over. I love them, but I have to stop. I have to be a plain plateau all the way.
Yeah.
Say, 4 weeks ago, he was really in a bad way. And I'm very lucky. I have a neighbour around the corner who also, unfortunately, has a child with a disability.
Yeah.
So I was able to text her and say, would you ever get your husband to interact with my son so that to move them on?
Just move on.
You're all the time on your toes trying to find the next thing, trying to predict what's going to happen. Something might happen that has nothing got to do with us in the house at all.
Yeah.
And he would take it up the wrong way. So it's just, it's difficult all round, Joe.
Sounds. And what age is your son, Deirdre, again?
He's in his early 30s.
Early 30s, and Kay's son is 40. Now, you can relate to that, Kay. Can you?
I can totally relate to it. And this semi-independent apartment came up about in the 90s. And in the beginning, we said, oh, definitely not. We couldn't part with him like that. But when we looked and saw the situation, it suited Cormac so well.
Yeah, yeah.
And I thank God for it every day, really and truly. It's brilliant.
Yeah. My son is down for that, and on medical grounds would be quite high up.
Great.
But he would need support. But the supports are gone, Joe, and I'm afraid they're not going to come back. Like, he needs to be away from us. He doesn't want to be with us.
Yeah, that's right.
And there's a lot of, you know, he doesn't. And kind of, we don't get to do normal things that people would do. We can't just go home now and have a glass of wine in the evening because we won't let him drink at home. So there's no, we can't do things in normal public. And there's three people in our marriage. I say something to my husband, he interferes.
Yeah.
And then you're thinking, you know, this way. So,
and
I don't know.
And Deirdre, are you in any, and Kay, I'll ask the same, is there any support available, even in a WhatsApp group? I know, Deirdre, you say you get a bit of support, obviously, from the family around the corner who are in the same situation. I just think that stories I've been hearing for the last 6 weeks around this particular issue.
It's a huge issue, Joe. It really is, because they're the bottom of the pile. You're dead right about that there. They're the bottom of the pile.
The bottom of the pile. And can I just say as well, the lady that was assigned to my son, I call her Peggy, she's great. She's been taken away from him, but she contacts us and he contacts her, even though she's away now on another job. He has got somebody a health worker to work with my son, and he comes at 11 o'clock in the morning and they run socially apart for an hour, and then he drops him home. So that's something to get him moving. But it is the anxiety. It's what's the future? What, you know, And as I say, we're pensioners. Most of us who have adults with intellectual disabilities are pensioners. And it's just tough.
It sounds very tough.
We absolutely love our children, you know, but... You know, we know there's going to be a new normal, and you know we're very used to accommodating new situations. But I would just die for my son as well. He has no future.
Yeah, okay. Everything stopped. Their lives just stopped.
His little job stopped. His voluntary things stopped. Going over to watch a match in the pub. He could, you know, the locals here. If we don't come over with him, they look out for him. You know, he wouldn't, you know, he'd have his pint and he knows everybody, everybody loves him, but he's our son and we have to watch out for him. You know, we have to watch over. If he wants to cook something, we have to make sure he turns off the cooker. If he leaves the house, we have to make sure he closes the door, you know. Mm-hmm. So he has to be looked after all the time.
By the way, Kay and Deirdre, if you want, it's up to yourselves, and I don't want an answer on there, but if you want to be put in touch with each other, just say it to Elaine there when the call finishes. And it's up to yourself. If both of you agree to that, I just think people need to.
I was talking to my friend around the corner this morning. We're all in the same boat.
Yeah, and I'm especially thinking that Deirdre's son is on the same pathway as your Cormac, Kay.
I just want to say about Cormac that when I heard that the flat was being, you know, they didn't want him moving outside at all, I thought to myself, that is not going to work and he's going to get his virus because he's going. But he and his flatmate James have never once stepped outside the apartment except for a small walk. And I'm so proud of him. I really am. But it has taken a toll. But I am so proud of him. I couldn't be more proud of him.
Now, Vicky Moran has phoned in.
Vicky.
Who's Vicky Kay?
I know Vicky well, yeah.
Well, say hello to her there.
Hiya, Vicky.
Hi, Kay.
How are you?
Good, good. I'm just ringing up, Joe, because Kay is an amazing woman.
Oh, my God.
And we all miss her, and we can't wait to hug her.
And how do you know her, Vicky?
Kay is my sister's mother-in-law, and we're very close all together.
There's a big connection there, Joe.
Very good. And Vicky, when you hear Kay saying, I'm going to go out and hug everybody as soon as I can.
Well, I'll be first in the queue.
Okay, brilliant. Kay and Deirdre, we'll put you in touch after the programme. Vicky, you mind yourself and look after your sister's mother-in-law, and we'll talk soon. 51551, wash your hands.